Jonah chapter number 3. And as you have been here during the study of Jonah, we have looked at two different chapters, chapters 1, chapter 2. Tonight we'll be in chapter number 3. Chapter 3 has 10 verses, just like chapter 2 did. Jonah's a very short book, but it talks about this preacher named Jonah who ran from the Lord and went the opposite direction of what the way the Lord told him to go to begin with. And you know the story. Most people know the story of Jonah and the whale. We learned about that in Sunday school. But there's a lot more to it than just Jonah and the whale. And so as we come out of chapter 2, we see Jonah being spit up, vomited up from this whale. And let's look at chapter 3, verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Well, number 1, if you'll notice chapter 1, I think we did this when we were looking at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. And look at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Well, you look at chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, just by that phrase right there, if it hasn't hit you yet, that is a good place to rejoice, number 1, because the Lord speaks another time. He just didn't leave Jonah where he was. He came unto him the second time. We serve a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. How many chances have you had, you know? And so that very verse alone should be inspiring to us to know that God is the God of second chances. He came unto Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And then look, he says, So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, or exceeding great city, of 3 days' journey. Now, let me just point out just a few things if I can. God is a God of second chances, just like he was for Peter, just like he was for a fellow by the name of John Mark, just like he was for King David, and so many different ones. Now, here is a verse that I remember very well. When, let's see, I think it's this one, yeah. When I got in trouble by my dad, he would read Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I'm going to read the whole thing to you, but part of it says, And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't despise the chastening. For whom the Lord... Now, again, if you didn't see any rejoicing in what we just said about the Lord coming to you the second time, you ought to see some rejoicing right here. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. So, do you think God loved Jonah? Why, sure, he's chastening him, is he not? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you've ever been chastened of the Lord, that is proof that he loves you, that you're one of his. He don't whoop kids that don't belong to him. He don't whoop the devil's kids. He whoops his kids. And so that's a wonderful thing to know and to think. Now, let's see. Look at verse number... Oh, I got to show you this in verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, here's something I want to point out there. In chapter number... look at chapter number 1, and let me find it. Verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, watch this. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He's going the wrong way. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. He paid the fare thereof. It cost him to go away from the Lord. It cost him. He had to pull his wallet out and pay to go the opposite direction. Well, now notice chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and so on and so forth. Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. No mention of Jonah having to pay. Because when you're doing what God tells you to do, when you're in the will of God, God pays the fare. Amen. But if you're going the other direction, he'll make you pay the fare. Isn't that something? It's just right there. He mentions it in verse 1 or chapter 1 that Jonah had to pay. Pay up. And how many of us know how many times we've been out of the will of God? We had to pay. But in chapter 3, no mention of being paid because it was a free trip if you're doing what God has told you to do. The price of sin will always be costly. Here's something y'all want to point out before we go any further. When you depart from the will of God, all progress, all spiritual progress stops. In other words, God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. He goes the opposite direction, totally away from where God told him to go. Listen, as long as Jonah was headed toward Tarshish, he would never grow any more spiritual than he was until he obeys God. Does that make sense? In other words, God says, okay, you're at A, I want you to go to B. I want you to go from A to B. Jonah picks up, goes the total opposite direction. God stops all spiritual progress, and God don't speak anymore until you come back to A and start heading for B. Let's see if I can explain it to you this way. I've heard people say this. They said, man, I haven't heard from God. God hadn't told me nothing lately. He ain't spoke to me lately. And this is my first thought and my first question. Have you done everything he's asked of you up till now? Because if you haven't, he won't speak anymore until you do what he first said to do. You won't grow any more spiritual until you obey what he's told you to do. You cannot be spiritual out of the will of God. You ever wondered why God, when he told the disciples, he said, take up your cross and follow me. You ever wondered what that cross was? Obviously, these disciples didn't pick up a literal cross that the Lord bled and died on and just towed it around everywhere. He wasn't talking about that. Think about this. The cross that you and I have to bear is God's will runs this way. Y'all with me? God's will runs this way. My will always goes against God's will. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I think I'm going to go to Tarshish. You can only, God says, take up your cross, get your will in line with my will. That makes sense? Jonah, get yourself, your will, line it up with my will, and follow me. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, let's look over here, verse 3. Let's carry on. So Jonah arose, verse 3, and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now let me say this. A picture of, let's see if it'll come up here. All right, there is the city of Nineveh. Now, the city of Nineveh is a fairly large area. Matter of fact, if I'm understanding this scripture correctly, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That means it would take you 3 days to go from here to there. Y'all see that? It was so big, it would take you 3 days to walk it. That makes sense? It was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. Now, that's a pretty big area. Verse 4 says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So, Jonah travels inside this city about a day's journey. So that means he is a third of the way into Nineveh. Does that make sense? If it's 3 days' journey all the way across Nineveh, here's another. That's the old Nineveh, and where this is over in Iraq. This Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, the Bible city of Nineveh, is actually over in Iraq. That's where it was in the Bible days. So Jonah is a day's journey, a third of the way into this city, and he starts preaching. This is his message. Y'all ready? His sermon was 8 words long. Can you imagine a sermon 8 words long? This is the sermon. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Good day. I mean, Jonah goes into the city, and he says, yet 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's give the invitation. Just as I am, please, without one plea. You imagine? Now, you say, and all of Nineveh got right. All of Nineveh got saved. All of Nineveh repented because of an 8-word sermon, which goes to tell us. Now, remember this. The power of the message is not in the man. It's in the word. The power. People look and say, boy, Jonah really? It wasn't Jonah. It was God. Now, let's see. Verse number, that was the sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth for the greatness of them, or the greatest, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. Now, that's pretty well self-explanatory. Nineveh believed God. That means they turned to God and proclaimed a fast. What that means is they, many of you know what fasting is. Now, I've always thought fasting was getting to the table as fast as you could. That's not fasting. Fasting is neglecting or putting yourself last and prayer first. That's what fasting is. A lot of people, you ever heard prayer and fasting? Prayer and fasting. I'm praying, but I'm neglecting myself of indulging myself with food until I get an answer from God. I'm fasting. And that's what that is. Fasting. And they put on sackcloth. These are, sackcloth would be like a cloth, which it would be like burlap. Y'all know what burlap is. Very rough, very uncomfortable. And they would put on that sackcloth. they would fast, and then they would do this, sackcloth. And then in a minute you'll see that the king sat down in ashes. You've heard, my dad used to say this all the time, boy, we need to repent in sackcloth and ashes. Well, this is where he get it from. He got it from the Bible. Proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest. That means from the top, from the king all the way down to the least. It didn't make any difference what color, creed, what area they come from, how many cars they had. It didn't make any difference. The message of the word hit from the top to the bottom. It went for everybody. And then in verse 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now, you say, what does that symbolize? Well, the sackcloth, obviously, is that burlap cloth, if you will, very uncomfortable. It's all about neglecting self. So many times we put self above everything else. And these are symbols of I'm fasting, I'm neglecting self, I'm putting self last. I'll eat later, I want to pray first. I'll eat later, I want to read my Bible first. I'll eat later. And you're fasting while you're trying to get a hold of God. And putting that sackcloth on, very uncomfortable, and sitting down in ashes. Now what do you do when you're sitting down in ashes? Ashes have been burned. Ashes are a product of a sacrifice. What did Romans 12? Paul says, I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is rebuilt. You know what Job did? We preached on him this past Sunday. You know what Job did? Job, when God took everything he had, he thought he did something wrong. He repented and sat down in ashes because he says, God, here I am. I'm a sacrifice unto you. And that's where these people of Nineveh were. The word came unto the king of Nineveh, verse 6, and he arose from his throne, laid his robe from him, and covered him in sackcloth and sat in ashes. I think Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Now, in other words, they're fasting. Let them not feed nor drink water. I mean, he was making animals repent. Not only did the people repent, he's making the animals suffer and repent. Anyway, neither let man nor beast, herd or flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Isn't that something? Now, you say, preacher, what does Nineveh have to do with us today? Jonah, what does Jonah have to do with us today? Do you not see America right here? Do we not see America right here? We just had prayer requests a few minutes ago about the fires in California. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that governor over there is trying to shut those churches down, putting notices on churches on their doors, padlocking their doors, saying they can't sing. Singing is spreading the virus. Now, if you would like to go out in the streets and burn the whole town down, you can. And breathe over everybody. But don't you go into church and sing. There's something wrong with that. All the churches in California cannot meet. And some of them are meeting anyway. And John MacArthur's church. He was charged $5,000 for preaching Sunday morning. A $5,000 fine for coming back and preaching Sunday night. He'll be charged $5,000 for having service tonight from the city. Now, do you want to question why California, 560 fires all over the state of California? God is trying to get America to repent. Galveston, Texas, all wherever, I say Galveston because that's the town that comes to mind. And I don't know of anything that's going on in Galveston or Texas or anywhere else that God would be upset about. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God is trying to get America's attention. And listen, this king here, he repented. He made a declaration. It wasn't a quiet matter. He got on the news media, the radio. He proclaimed all through Nineveh. He said, every one of you, even the animals, better repent and pray and cry out to Almighty God. That's what's going to cause revival in this. You say, preacher, what is going to cause America to get back right with God when God strips us of everything that America has been blessed with? And we haven't given thanks for. Amen. Everything. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the nation as a whole has been blessed by God. We got a Super Center Walmart on every street corner. America is the most, is the biggest and most obese country in all the world. We are blessed people. And God says, hey, I keep blessing and y'all keep going the opposite direction. I'm going to cut off the blessings and see how long it'll take you before you cry out to me. That's what Nineveh was going through. And they're like, oh, cry out to Almighty God. You were talking about a great revival that happened in Nineveh. Then verse 8. Then let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Did you know, we don't have to, everybody can quote it in here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven. He will heal our land, forgive our sins. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the Bible. And yes, he was talking to the nation of Israel, but it sure won't hurt us to pray that. Amen. Now, verse 9. Who can tell? Who knows? If God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. Who can tell? We don't know. But watch this. It's what Nineveh said. Jonah just came and told us, we got 40 days. We got 40 days and we're fixing to be toast. We're going to perish. Now you got two choices, all right? We got 40 days to live it up. Or you can cry out to an almighty God and say, I don't know if God will change his mind or not. But it don't matter if he don't change his mind or not. We need to cry out to Almighty God. Nineveh said, I don't know. Who can tell? I don't know. But now watch this. Verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Why? Because that nation repented. Now, here's what I want to talk to you just for a minute. Because a lot of people, You know what the Bible says in Titus 1:2? God cannot lie, right? God can't lie. He told Jonah, Jonah, 40 days, Nineveh is done. Go preach to them. Well, in 40 days, he didn't do what he said he's going to do. Is he a liar? No. What happened? The Bible says God repented of the evil. It didn't mean God was doing evil. That didn't mean that. He repented of the evil that he was going to allow to happen to the nation of the Ninevites. Here's what I want to show you. Always, I've tried to teach this the best I could. Always get a Bible definition of every word. A lot of times when we see the word repent, we think, okay, when a person gets saved, they have to repent. And that's true. You repent of your sin and all of that kind of good stuff and this, that, and the other. But the Bible says God repented. Well, we know God didn't need to be saved. We know God didn't need to pray about his sin. He's not a sinner, right? So the word repent don't always mean what we think it does. Now, let's look at a Bible definition. Oh, let's see. Let me see Matthew here. All right, watch this. I'm going to let y'all give the definition of repent. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Okay. He answered and said, "I will not." Then he lost his whole front set of teeth. That ain't what it said. But this son said, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. What does the word repent mean? He changed his mind. Not only did he change his mind, he changed his heart. And it caused a change of attitude. The word repent means change of mind, heart, attitude. All right, go back to Jonah and let's apply that definition to Jonah chapter number 3. And God repented. God changed his heart, mind, and attitude toward Nineveh and changed his mind because why? They repented and got right. You see, it has nothing to do with God being a sinner and he had to repent. Uh-uh. God changed his heart, mind, and attitude the way he was going to deal with Nineveh. Y'all see that? Now, here's something I was going to show you. Look at this. And this goes for America. I run up on this verse today. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy. This is Jeremiah 18, verse 7. And then verse 8 says, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." That goes for America. Listen, folks, we were talking about elections a while ago. We need to pray and all that kind of stuff for our country and this, that, and the other. But listen, I don't care who you vote for. Whoever you vote for cannot bring repentance upon this earth. The only thing that'll change God's mind is if America as a whole repents. And he'll change his mind of the evil that I thought to do unto them. You know what would probably get those fires out in California to stop? Is that mayor, that governor, whoever it is, stand up and say, "God, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm sorry. I need to turn to you. I need to give my life to you." And I don't know. He may be saved. I don't know. But God, I need to repent, cry out to you. And what I've done to these churches and these Christians and tried to shut the freedom of religion, very possible. It's what God's looking for. I don't know. Isn't that something? Now, you may see something totally different. That's fine. Now, let me show you one other verse. Luke 11, 32. Luke 11, 32. And watch. the people of Nineveh, the men of Nineveh. Now think about this, and we're closing. When I saw this, it just, when you put everything in perspective, watch. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. All right, let me explain that verse before we go home. America's going to stand before God. And you know what? You know how when you're in the courtroom and you call for witnesses? So-and-so, will you come to the stand? We want you to testify. We want you to give a witness. Well, God's going to say, men of Nineveh, would you come to the stand, please? America's standing down there before God. Nineveh, would y'all come up here to the stand? You swear to tell the truth, hold truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Men of Nineveh, yep, we sure do. God says, Nineveh, what happened to y'all? Well, you sent this preacher into us. He preached an 8-word sermon. And we repented and turned back to you. And you held off your wrath. Is that true? Yes. And who was preaching? Jonah. And y'all listened to him? Yes. America, you've had the preaching of Jesus Christ. They repented over an Old Testament preacher. You had Jesus Christ and wouldn't repent. Ain't that something? That needs to be preached over the whole land. That one of these days, Nineveh's going to rise up in judgment against us. Why? Because they repented over a good preacher, but he wasn't as good as Jesus. We've got Jesus' word, the Lord's word, and America will not repent. There's a lot of stuff in 4 chapters in Jonah, right? Amen. Amen.